Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Bears.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't even talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll go next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What?
Host of the Take the North podcast.
Mark Grody. Mark Grody, WBBM.
You're kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grody.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay.
We now go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we find Mark Grody. Mark Grote, the man who had to stay late yesterday because Bears practice went long and the media had to wait a little bit longer than they thought they would, for Caleb Williams. Mark, what is the latest out at the hall today?
Yeah, I was just in the locker room a short while ago. The Bears are having their practice right now, so we just had our short media window, so I can't really give you deets from the practice at this point. We'll be able to do that later, but I can give you some information from inside the locker room, as Jalen Johnson did speak to the media, and I asked him, you know, straight up if he's going to be able to play, and he said, "I'll be good." Then he said, "Good to go." Then he said, "That's what I say. That's my anticipation." So it's a completely different tone than that of when we spoke to him last Tuesday, when he literally said that he was not going to be able to play on that day. He said it wouldn't be a thing, and I actually brought those words back to him. I said, "Last week you said it wouldn't be a thing. This week when I asked, brought that up to him, he said, good to go." At least that's – now he's speaking like a guy who thinks he's ready to play, which was the tell to me last week, is when Jalen Johnson, as competitive as he is, as much as he loves to go up against Justin Jefferson, when he was telling us 5 days before game day that he's not good to go and he wasn't giving any sign of wanting to play, that was a little bit jarring to hear. This week, it's completely the converse. He is talking about wanting to play, which means it's going to be not necessarily up to him, but everything sounds good. Another thing, too, like just to put a fine point on what happened last week, you know, he did reveal to us that he was never going to play in that game against Minnesota. So, I mean, which makes sense considering he had two injuries.
Gamesmanship by the coaching staff of the Bears.
Yes.
And Jalen Johnson,
yes,
also playing along, Mark, which is good to know he's got that acting vibe down. Mark Grody, he's one of our co-hosts, but today he is outside. Like, he went outside. He's down at Hallis Hall getting information for us. Anything else of note from today in the locker room that really jumped out at you, Mark?
Yeah, I think a couple of things that were interesting. Did we talk to DeAndre Swift, who we know the running game was not working the way the Bears wanted to work on Monday Night Football. DeAndre Swift was the only running back who touched the football in this game. And I just thought it was interesting to hear some of the things that he was saying. He said that, you know, he was stressed two or three times while we were talking to him, and authoritatively. Like, this wasn't the – let me just say this first before I tell you. DeAndre Swift, usually very quiet, very soft-spoken, not a lot of words, doesn't always like to talk. He was more commanding than I remember him being at any time last year. And he said, "We need to play cleaner football." He said that, you know, multiple times. He literally said, "We can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot." And then he was also asked, and this is a pretty honest answer too, like, what's going on? Like, literally with the run game, except for that one drive, which was on the grounding penalty by Caleb Williams, and then ultimately the missed field goal by Cairo Santos, which we'll talk about here in a second as well. You know, that was the only time that things were going well. But he said, hats off to Minnesota. I mean, it sounded like Minnesota was doing some things that, I don't know if confusion is the right word, but just doing things that were productive. And he name-checked Flores. He complimented Brian Flores, saying that they were doing good things. So, you know, that's an adjustment, obviously, that needed to be made in the game by the Bears side of the ball. So hopefully they will make more adjustments going forward. And I'll say this, too. I had a good talk, and I'll play some of this on the afternoon show today during my 4 p.m. hit. I had a good talk with Kyle Manungai, and I think we were all upset for Kyle Manungai. We were angry for Manungai. We wanted to see Manungai get some carries out there. And, you know, his thought process was, look, I'm just back healthy. He played it perfectly in terms of being a rookie, and he said, I was just ready to do whatever they needed me to do. So he was not, at least he didn't come across as, and I feel like he's a pretty genuine guy, just getting to know him a little bit. He was not put off by, you know, not having a carry. We talked about his blocking. He admitted that that's something that he takes a ton of pride in, but he says that's still something that he's working on, and he knows that that is something that comes down to the quarterback trusting you and the coach trusting you. So I'll have some of that Manungai later on the afternoon show.
Well, at least you were able to paraphrase it for us, since you're saving it for them, even though your name is on this show, Mark. Where are your loyalties?
I know. I just didn't have enough time between locker room and practice to I'm a one-man show out here today. Emma's down the block doing WBBM. Actually, I got Rick Gregg out here. Rick Gregg is the best.
But I love
look,
Rick.
We all... I know. Rick is the good. So
you need
look,
an assistant is what you're saying, Grody.
I do. You know, it's the one thing that Mitch would not give me, you know.
You need a personal intern.
This newer type of situation we have, I asked for an assistant, and it was like so many things, just a fast no.
Well, we can try at least. Shoot or shoot, as they like to say.
I'll never stop shooting, Layla. You know that.
Hell yeah. So, okay, Mark, I also want to ask you this. We talked a little bit on our group thread last night. I would like to bring that to everybody who's listening because, well, you guys are a part of our group thread too. You're the listener. What were your impressions of what you heard from Caleb Williams and even just him being late, that kind of rarity? I feel like I wanted to communicate that to people at the top of our show at 10 a.m. What did you think, and why is that important to note for you?
Yeah, you know, actually, you know, I don't think there was any funny stuff going on. Like, I do think it was, at this point, maybe this is me being a naive reporter, I take them at their word that the schedule changed and they had things to do. You know, maybe there's more background to be had on that, and there were no whispers of anything like that today. Part of me liked it, actually. I didn't like having to stay until, you know, 8 o'clock at Hallis Hall last night. But what I did like was that it indicated to me that maybe there was some extra work to be done, or maybe there was some spirited conversations going on backstage. So I prefer to look at it that way. I don't know that. I don't have information. Nobody has whispered anything to me, but just the way they were talking about it. And, you know, when we were told by the Bears officials, nobody sounded alarmed. You know, when we were told, I said, this is just a schedule change. And they said, yes. So unless there is something different that we come to dig up out here, then I'm okay with it, and I'm good with it. If it's in the name of making Caleb Williams better, if it is in the name of making the Chicago Bears better. And as far as, you know, what he said throughout that, you know, as usual with Caleb Williams, you know, whatever you want to say about him, he's pretty unflappable when it comes to taking questions that are sort of coded with criticism, as we do. Like, what could he have you done better on that play? And should you have gotten rid of the ball more quickly? And, you know, he I don't know if it owned up to it is the right way to put it, but, you know, the questions were asked about the pre-snap penalties and what his, you know, what his responsibility is in that. And he did not back away from it. I don't know how it's going to be fixed going forward, and that kind of stuff wasn't really shared with us on the specifics. And if you listen to the press conference, you heard him saying they're not going to be giving stuff away and kind of smiling at the reporter who asked the question. But I did appreciate the way he answered most of the things that he was asked. I asked him about the running game, you know, and prefaced it with, and maybe I didn't need to preface it, but I did, in terms of, like, all quarterbacks want to throw the ball, but I think they understand the importance of the running game. And he essentially said, look, if the coach wants to run the ball more, then we're going to run the ball more, which, again, was the right answer.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody. Mark Grody, not in studio with us. He's at Hallis Hall, and he's fresh out of the Bears locker room where he was interviewing several subjects. Also was at the hall yesterday when Ben Johnson spoke and addressed the fact that he is returning to Detroit for the first time since becoming the head coach of the Chicago Bears. What did you make of his remarks and talking about his relationship with Dan Campbell and returning to Detroit this weekend?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because there was obviously a Detroit reporter out here who was, you know, leading the way in asking the questions, and you know, he prefaced his question with essentially paraphrasing that there's a lot of guys who are kind of upset. They're a little soured on Ben Johnson for leaving. And I think that took him aback just a little bit, you know what I mean? Like kind of like he doesn't want to, I mean, he wants to have good vibes in Detroit. He wants to be part of that community. He wants to have left a legacy. So I think he understands that. But to some degree, it's kind of like, look, the dude got a head coaching job. And maybe they're sour because specifically he goes to the Chicago Bears in the division, all of that stuff. But you can't blame a guy for taking a big, huge, very challenging job here with the Chicago Bears. So I thought he handled that well. Pretty funny the way, you know, what he was talking about, you know, being a computer nerd. I can't remember the exact words that were used.
Snot-nosed computer nerd.
That's it. That's it. And the part about Ben Johnson is that he owns that part of himself, that he is the snot-nosed computer nerd, or he would not have shared that with us. He knows he's smart. He knows that's his identity. He knows he doesn't have the pro football background as far as playing is concerned. So I did like that part about it. And now it's just going to kind of be downplay, 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 I think, the rest of the week. And we heard some of that coming out of Detroit, that once you step on the field, it does feel, guys, way more personal and way more important, that storyline from the Detroit side, than it sounds from this side.
Well, I think you could also make the argument, Mark, that as much as the Lions were able to score at will last year, Dan Campbell was the face of that team in a way. And I feel like that extended to the rest of the coaching staff. You know, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson. I feel like when you consider the faces of the franchise, as much as it was guys like Aiden Hutchinson, for example, I feel like they were up there as well, considered like that for people in Detroit.
Yeah. I mean, Dan Campbell is the soundbite. He's literally this hulking figure. He's kind of got that everyman look. You know, a guy like that, now that he's successful, everybody loves him. You know what I mean? Like, and a guy that goes for it, a guy that, you know, won 13 games in Detroit. Like, he has rebuilt with help, obviously, with guys like Ben Johnson and then the coaching staff and his bosses, Dan Campbell gets to be the face of the rebuilt, they ain't no joke anymore, and he gets to be the face of that, and it's a gregarious face and a gregarious personality. Can one have a gregarious face?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they look happy, yes.
They look like they want to be engaged with, and that they would entertain you in such engagement.
And kick your ass at the same time.
Well, there's that.
Just ask that one reporter.
That's balance. That's how that works.
We are all looking for that, I think, in life. I want you to like me and enjoy me, but I also want you to know that I can beat you up. But you know, I don't think I have that yet.
I'll tell you what I'm looking for, Mark. I'm looking for more... What did you call it earlier? Spirited conversation when you return to this said studio tomorrow and we continue the conversation and get ready for the weekend.
Oh, heck yeah. You guys want a couple, the quick thing on Richard Hightower? Did you guys already cover that?
Oh, no. Give us whatever.
Oh, no. We have not heard from Richard Hightower. Please tell us what he had to say.
Yeah. So real quick, that he was asked about first. He was asked about the Cairo Santos miss, and he basically just cited the operation. He said the snap, hold, and kick was not clean. Asked to be more specific about it, he said it's just the whole operation. As far as the Cairo Santos's inability in this case to not kick the ball through the end zone, Hightower kind of deferred to Ben Johnson at first a little bit, saying I think the coach sort of handled that, but then he did say we wanted the ball to go out of the end zone, and that didn't happen. And then he said the player thought he could do it. And then he was also, I love that when they call him the player. And then he was asked a good question, like was Torrey Taylor, the big-footed Torrey Taylor, considered as a possibility in that spot? They said he was not, but they do consider things like that. And then last thing, guys, he said, look, as far as, you know, some of the big returns that went against them as well, he said it was a tale of two halves and special teams was no different, which is true. Like, every phase of the game kind of stunk after the first half, or maybe the first half and change.
Isn't the coach's job to know what his capabilities are in these scenarios?
Yeah, no, it is, but that is exactly the way it works on special teams. You know, the coach goes to the head coach, goes to the special teams coach, the special teams coach goes to the player, and they thought that the player was wrong in this case. So you want to trust your players, right?
No, it's human nature. They're always going to want to try to be that person. It's like people thinking they can land a plane.
I got you.
But you also want to, as a coach, as a manager in any sport, you want to trust your players, right? You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Guess what? They learned. And maybe now he won't get the benefit of the doubt next time.
Except for they'll be indoors, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Everything going good with you guys? Everything all right? Anything I need to know back there?
We'll tell you about the segment that just happened offline.
Yes.
All right.
Also, we're late to break, so we're going to
have to. All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Mark. Bye.
That was Mark Grody live from Hallis Hall here in Rahimian Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.